Praise God. Well,
it seems quite a few weeks now since I spoke on a Sunday, but we had begun to do the last few times I spoke is we have been looking at the book of 1 Corinthians, and I've been moved, we are now looking at chapter 3. So we've done chapter 1, we've done chapter 2, and if I remember what's going on, we are now on looking at chapter 3. And so chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Now let's just pray. And okay, I say my wife's left me, that'd give the wrong impression, wouldn't it? She's gone to sit in another chair. let's just pray. Father, just pray that you will help us as we come to look at this word from you, and that Lord, we may take it to heart, and that Lord, you will make a difference in our lives and in our spirits because of what we learn today. Amen. Well, the title of this message, or the title of this chapter, if you wanted to give this chapter a title, is Working Together. Working Together. And what I want to do, in order to look at it in some detail, is just maybe take two or three verses at a time, because there is quite a lot of stuff here that I think we need to learn and understand. So I'll begin with the first two verses. It says this. It says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. I guess if we, even if we look around within our own church, the people you can see on the screen, we are all in different stages of our spiritual growth. Some people have been saved just a few months or years. Many of us have been saved for decades. And hopefully, over the time that we have known the Lord as Saviour, we have grown in our spiritual maturity. Sadly, that isn't always the case, and that there are people that have been saved for very many years, but they're still quite immature in things of the Spirit. And this is why Paul talks about this comparison between a baby just having to be fed milk. And, you know, I think we've probably got some sort of 50-year-old babies that are still on milk right now. And really, we should be on the solid food. And so what it's talking about is a kind of carnal nature and a spiritual nature. Our carnal nature is still influenced by the old worldly lifestyle that we used to live, and our spiritual nature is the new nature that we received in Christ when we came to that new birth. And moving from one to the other is kind of like a gradual process, just as you might see a baby grow into a child and then into manhood or womanhood. And some people grow very quickly spiritually, others seem to take a very long time growing, or many just really don't grow at all and are still needing that milk of the Word of God rather than the spiritual meat. It's a bit like if you drive down the road and do you ever watch the people in the slow lane, you know, the ones that, you know, are stuck behind the lorries and they never have the courage to overtake them, and they tend to be either sort of learners or very young drivers that are very nervous, or they're very old people that are scared stiff of all these other tearaways on the road. And it's kind of a bit like that, because we've got different people in those different stages. And really, what is happening is that we are unable to move, we're unable to accelerate and gain that spiritual growth until we are practicing the basics, the milk comes before the meat, and we need to see certain things taking place within our lives before we can move on to the other stuff. You know, we all want to see miracles, we all want to pray for the sick and see them instantaneously healed and all of these things, and we can do that. But I believe that a prayer life comes before seeing miracles, and that, you know, God isn't just a slot machine that we can just go to and, you know, say this and it's going to happen. It demands a certain spiritual growth that we are expected to achieve. I just do want to say, though, that I do believe that God's special favor is on people when they're first saved. It seems like, you know, like babies seem to have that special ability to survive those first difficult days of their lives. And it's the same is true of the new birth as well. And, you know, God just sort of gives that sort of extra zeal and enthusiasm very often to people that are newly saved. But sadly, many people stay as babies. They retain that immaturity and that carnal nature. And there is a need for us to move on from that onto solid food. We need that basic understanding of Scripture first. This is why we spend time with people that have come to the Lord. We mentor them. We've got a new converts course. And it's also when people like myself, certainly, and I believe others, as they preach and teach, we try to include within our preaching something that will meet the need of everyone. Very difficult to do with a diverse congregation where we're all at different stages. And so some of what we say might seem very simplistic, and you might say, well, I already knew all that stuff, you know, and he's gone over it again. Well, maybe some people needed to hear it. But at the same time, we also need to chuck in a bit of meat now and again, and give some people that are mature and experienced in the Word of God something to think about and something to chew over as well. And so maybe there are other scenarios where you can receive that input. Mature Christians who know their Bible, can receive that meat. And so we need to see that spiritual growth occurring within our lives. That's the first thing. The next couple of verses, let me read verses 3 and 4. You are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Now this goes back to what we were talking about in chapter 1 of this, where they're all saying, well, you know, I'm a follower of Paul, or I'm a follower of Apollos, or somebody else. And these divisions that exist between people are often perpetuated as we continue in our Christian lives. And they are like the main evidence of our carnal nature is actually the lack of love and tolerance that we have for one another. Jesus said, didn't he, that by this shall all men that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And very often our love for other believers is fairly limited, and we're often quite critical of other people. And that's manifested sometimes, or can be manifested, within church life. Maybe it talks here about envying. You know, do we envy other people? Do we envy people because of their position, or because of their giftings, or because of their possessions and their wealth? Or maybe we envy them because they've got friendships with people that we would like to have friendships with. And maybe these are all things which we don't give a lot of thought to, but maybe they go on in our subconscious. And the things that are very carnal, and the things that we need to move on from. Envying. It talks about envy, and then it talks, the next word it uses in my Bible is strife. Looking at the Amplified version, it uses other words for strife. It talks about jealousy, it talks about wrangling. And I think this is talking about our relationships with people that are different from us. They've got maybe a different social background. They don't maybe think in quite the same way of us. Maybe they've got slightly different politics. They view things differently. They vote for different candidates in the elections or whatever. Maybe they've got a slightly different theology. I trust that we all are of one accord in the very basics of our theology, in what we believe about salvation and redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are lots of other fringes of theology that really should not separate us, but often can form divisions between us. A good example of that is eschatology, which is a big word which means the end times. People have different views on when the Lord is going to return. I firmly believe that the next great event is the rapture, that I shall be gone. But
hallelujah.
But there are some people that I love dearly in the Lord, bless them, and they think they're going to be left behind. Well, you get left behind if you want, brother and sister. I shall be out of here. Now, just because we have a different opinion about something like that doesn't mean that it should come between us. There shouldn't be that wrangling, that jealousy, that strife. And, you know, there are some churches that where there are contentious issues like that, they don't even talk about it at all because, oh, we don't want to upset anybody, you know. Let's accept people for who they are and what they believe as long as they're in tune with the fundamentals. I'm going to have a debate with Neil later on about Sabbath observance. Yeah, that's another one that can divide us. And, you know, these things are actually not important in the economy of Christ as long as we understand why it is that we are together and the things that bind us. And so very easy to have sort of inconsiderate or insensitive behavior towards people because they're different from us or they react differently to the way that we behave. And then of course he talks also in these verses about following different leaders, Paul, Apollos, Peter, different ones there, and different factions. We might call that sectarianism. We could just going back to chapter one. It says here, it has been verse 10. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Friends, we shouldn't have those divisions existing between us. We may have a preferred way of doing things, and it's very natural to have preferences. There are some preachers that I enjoy more than others. There are some forms of worship that I engage with more than others. But the denomination that we belong to, or the people, the way we do things and the things that we prefer, should not prevent us from having a wholehearted unity with those around about us. And we're part of a Pentecostal group of churches. We do things in a certain way, but praise God there are many other churches. They may do things slightly differently from us, but they love the Lord the same as we do, and we are pleased and privileged often to work with them. In fact, I'm on the board of reference of two other churches that are not even part of the same denomination that we are, and they are. I find it an honour that they listen to the things that I have to say, and take part in their meetings. And so, let's ensure that we're not people that are divisive or have divisions between us in that kind of way. We can be difference, we should be difference, but let's not drive wedges between us because of those differences and preferences that we have. The important thing is for ministries and churches to be working together. And the next few verses that we read talk about this issue. So let me read from verse 5 of chapter 2 down chapter 3 down to verse 10. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labour. But we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which he has given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Hallelujah. Each person ministers according to the ability that God has given them and the gifting that is placed within them. And this is a subject that we could look at in some very great depth. In fact, we have done that from time to time. Ability, if you were to read Romans chapter 12, it talks there about the different abilities that God has given to his people, and because we are all made very, very differently. And then if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which one day we might get to, it talks about the different giftings that God has given people. And so there is ability, there is gifting. And then in Ephesians 4:11, this verse you know as well, and that is about calling. God has called some to be apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers. So there are, prophets. There's ability, there's gifting, there's calling, and they are all different, which makes us different people. And we're not all out of the same mold, and we shouldn't expect that we are the same or that we have the same ministry. And I thank God that, you know, we have different ministries, even represented in our small church here, and different ways of doing things, and that is all to the good. And I'm pleased that we have different people speaking each week, different ones that are able to participate in various ways, and that is the way that God designed it. I remember a few years ago, some of you might know a famous American preacher called Kenneth Copeland, and he came to Bournemouth to do some seminars, and I went along to be at those meetings. In fact, I slept on the floor in my brother's flat, so I didn't miss anything. And Kenneth Copeland, if you know anything about his ministry, it very much focuses, or used to focus, on prosperity and how God was going to bless you, and if you gave money, this would happen and that would happen. And you know, he's received a lot of criticism for that, and perhaps much of that is justified. But he said something at the start of that series of meetings which kind of stuck with me, and whether you want to apply it to him or just generally, what he said was, he acknowledged that this was what his gifting and his calling was. He believed that this was something that God had given him to speak to the people of God. And he says, I know that there are very many other subjects in the Bible that God has gifted other preachers and speakers to minister about, but this is what he's shown me, and he has given me the mandate to talk about this particular subject. Well, whether you agree with him or not, or whatever you think about him, that principle is very true. There are those who have a particular gifting, a particular anointing, a calling, an ability to speak and preach on certain subjects. And then we need to give space to others that have other calling and gifting, and we allow them also to minister, and so we get a balance in the teaching that we receive. And I just think that's a wonderful thing. And I think whatever we do, when we think of other people, whether they're people from ministers outside of the church or whether they're folk within our own church, that we should always be mindful of their good points. And it's very easy to criticize people, isn't it? Very easy to find things that we don't like about them because they do things differently, or they've upset us, or something has gone wrong. And you know, one of the things that we need to be careful to do is, when we speak of people, is always to speak of them in a positive way and look for the good, because there's good in every one of us, because God's put it there. Hallelujah. And that we should have that respect for everyone, and that builds that unity and builds that harmony that should exist between us. And so we do that with those around about us. We hopefully we do it within our own church. The fact that we meet together like this for worship, we meet for prayer, we meet for fellowship. You know, some people say, well, you know, why do we have to do this? You know, can't we just sort of go on our own and, you know, stay in our own little household or bubble? That's the in word now, isn't it? And just do our own time of worship. No, friends, we need each other. We need those different inputs. We need to rub up against people that are doing things in different ways and maybe don't see things quite the same way as we do. But we friends, we need one another. We need that fellowship, and we need to work together and respect one another for what we receive from one another. And so that happens within church life. It happens within each fellowship of which we are one. But I believe it happens on a wider scale too. It certainly happens within our city. We have good fellowship with other churches within Salisbury. In the past, not able to do it very much now, but in the past we've had a number of joint meetings together, joint times of prayer together. We've done some major joint outreaches events together. And we still, even during this pandemic, the church leaders meet together in this kind of way through Zoom, and we pray together, and we try to work together in the best way that we can, because we want to use our giftings in the best possible way. Even just in the last few weeks, while we've, well, during the lockdown, I've had calls from other ministers. Another minister rang me and said, we've been given loads of food. He said, do you want food? Do you want to food parcels for any of the families on the Friary estate or something like that? And I actually declined his offer, because as it happens, the city council have got a good handle on that, and they seem to be looking after people around about it. And then they said, oh, we've got a lady there on the Friary that wants a fridge installed in her house and positioned, and she can't lift it. And so would you do that? So we went round to visit this lady. I took my wife with me, because I don't like visiting ladies on their own. And we sorted this fridge out, plugged it in, and got it working for her, and left her just a little gospel tract and a word to say who we were. And you know, there's this this sharing between us of within the city of Salisbury, among the various churches that we've got. I've also had other churches, they know we don't have our own building, and they've said to us, if you want to use our church or our premises, you know, you just need to ask us. And of course, maybe we'll take them up on that. But right now, there's quite a palaver of sort of cleaning and all the rules we've got to follow to do those things. So we've managed without doing that right now. But there's a unity among us and a desire to work together in those different ways. And that's all about building the kingdom of God together. So if we just read the verses that follow that, from the end of verse 10, it says, let each one take heed how he builds upon it, upon that foundation. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with good, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Friends, we're building God's kingdom. We're not here to build this church. It would be nice if we could grow and we could have a few more people. That would be wonderful. But we need that kingdom-mindedness. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to our little church when we recover some form of normality. Certainly our attendances have declined because not everybody is able to join us in the way they used to. And but that is not what is important. What is important is Jesus, who is the foundation to all of these things. And our responsibility is how we build. And we build to last. We build as a master builder would. We don't build out of, you know, cardboard boxes. We build out of bricks. We build in a solid way that enables that to be established. You know that parable that Jesus told about the wise man who built his house on the rock and the one who built his house on the sand. And there was one that withstood the storms and the tempests, and there was one that did not. And so we have to give heed to that. And, you know, not having sort of what I call sort of froth or just nice things to do every week. You know, you're not going to get a packet of sweets every time you come to church. I'm very sorry. But we have noticed in the past that when we put on a meal after church, our attendances do seem to go up. It's just kind of one of those things that sort of works. But, you know, let's build sensibly and build and work together to the best of our ability, because we are building God's kingdom. We're not building our own empires or our own church, but God will bless us as we seek to do that week by week. And then that last verse we read, verse 13, begins to talk about rewards that we receive as we do these things righteously. When it talks about the day, you'll see in your Bibles that day has got a capital D. And what it's talking about is the judgment day. We won't face the judgment that sinners will face, the great white throne judgment, but there will be a judgment seat of Christ where we will receive rewards for those things that we have done and that we have not done. And it says in Psalms, it says, "You render to each one according to his work." And so we will be rewarded accordingly. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. There will be rewards for believers who fulfill their calling and serve God according to the abilities and giftings that he's given them. But all believers will be saved. Yeah, you know, there will be rewards received when we meet the Lord in heaven. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at the next couple of verses, because this is important too. Verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. What is it talking about? It's talking about the fact that we, us, the inner part of us, our spirits, live within a temple. The temple is our body, if you like. And that that body has got to be maintained and looked after in a proper way. We were talking on Thursday about who we are in God, and we talked about the fact that we are salt and light, that who we are makes a difference to the environment around about us, and what we are should make a difference as well. And so we have this responsibility to use what God has entrusted to us for his glory, and not for sort of our own personal ambition or our carnal desires or our selfishness, all of those things which we might otherwise choose to do. And so we want to do that, and we want to try and live lives that are holy, lives that are righteous before God. And that is important, the way we live. So much in these verses that hopefully we will be able to amplify as we study a little more from God's word. The next few verses I'm not going to say a lot about, because we covered that previously, but let me read them to you. Verse 18, it says this: "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." The last time I spoke to you, I spoke to you from the previous chapter, chapter 2, and I talked about God's wisdom. And so I'm not going to go through all that again. I would say to you, well, you could listen to the message on the on our website, but sadly, that I don't know why, it's the first time it's out for a long time, but that message didn't record properly, so it's not there. But I do have the notes from what we spoke about that when that took place. But we did talk about God's wisdom as opposed to man's wisdom, and the difference between those two things. That was the subject of that. So I'm not going to go through that again, but again, it appears here because it is important in this context of us working together. The foolishness of man's wisdom. And then finally, these last three verses of the chapter: "Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, all things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's." Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in him is the source, the foundation, the whole basis for our unity together. And despite the many differences that exist between us, and rightly exist between us, we are still based on that unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that common salvation. And one of the wonderful things that we've been trying to do over the process of time is get different ones to share how it is that they came to know the Lord and their spiritual journey. And it's fascinating and encouraging and different for every one of us. But we have that common salvation. We have a common understanding. We have a common acceptance that the Bible is the word of God and is then the final arbiter between any divisions and distinctions that may exist between us. And so, friends, let's endeavour to overcome our differences. Let's try and work together. And let's be quick to acknowledge our faults one to another. I've found often I've been required to apologise to people that really I didn't think I'd done anything wrong about. You know, but, you know, let's have regard to other people, and let's just, you know, we're not all the same. We don't all take criticism and joking and things like that in the same way. So, you know, let's be sensitive to one another, and let's seek to build that unity between us rather than see it broken down. I think this is a very, very important subject. The church in Corinth that Paul was writing to was not a church that was all up together and had all the answers. They had loads of problems in their church. That's why it took him 16 chapters to write all this stuff, because there was lots of things going wrong there. And, you know, we can take heed to this, and we can seek to try and make sure that we don't fall into some of the same traps that these people in Corinth were falling into. And we can strengthen our unity and our ability to work together rather than see it dissipate and disintegrate. I just want us to really think about ourselves and where we are in all of this. We're in a very difficult situation right now, as indeed every church is and every Christian is. This inability to meet and have fellowship in the same way, and especially our worship together. It's great to be able to worship together as we've been doing today, but it still falls short of being in the same room, to be able to hear one another with our discordant voices or whatever. It's second best to what we would like to see. But it is important that we do it, and that we do it together, and that we worship together. And I'm grateful for those who lead us in those matters. That is absolutely terrific. We need fellowship. We need worship. We need to get together on such occasions as we can. I just find that this, you know, hour and a half on a Sunday really is not enough. You know, we need more than that, don't we? And so, you know, let's do what we can to feed our spirits, to see that spiritual growth taking place that we have been talking about. We need sound teaching. We need to listen to those right things. And so I just encourage you to try and use your time wisely, especially during these days. We've got lots of things that we can occupy our time with, but the stuff that's on the television is not particularly edifying. I found even some of the Christian channels, I have to be very selective about what I watch there. But there are things that we can engage with. We've got all those media facilities that John organised for us through Right Now Media. If you want to watch a good wholesome film, or get some good Christian teaching, if you want to show some things to the kids, then you can do that through the subscription we have. Jenny, we need to get that for you and for your family, and we'll sign you up for this, and you know, get some wholesome input into our lives, and then really start to enjoy and blossom and grow in the things of God. And friends, I know it's difficult, and I know it's a challenge, because everything's kind of arrayed against us. But what we don't want to see is stagnation. We don't want to see stagnation in church life. And Ruth and I were just talking about this the other day, and it's very easy for us to do these meetings, even on a Sunday. And all we seem to often to be doing is just sort of maintaining the status quo, or, you know, hope nobody else drops out, hope we manage to get through it all right, and, you know, let's just do a bit of this and a bit of that. No, rather than maintenance, we want to be moving forward. We want to see people be growing in God, growing spiritually. And I can't take responsibility for that. I can play my part, but we each have to take our own responsibility. We have to determine that we're going to go on in the things of God. We have to rekindle that enthusiasm, that zeal. We've got to move forward in God as individuals, as well as a group of believers. And so that's a challenge for all of us. And, you know, we're here to help provide those tools, that encouragement, that counsel, to enable you to do it. But let's seek to do that, encouraging one another, working together, and moving forward as believers in Christ. So God bless you. I know that's a bit of a challenge, but hopefully an encouragement too. And we want to see the church move forward and be blessed as we seek to put these things into practice. Amen.